Turn to the book of Ephesians. Together, Ephesians chapter 5 is where we'll begin our reading. Ephesians chapter 5. Please be in prayer for the Daniluks. Brother Daniluk is preaching at Beacon this morning, so pray for him that he would be a blessing to that wonderful church. Ephesians chapter 5. And notice what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14 is where we'll begin our reading. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." I want us to notice in verse 16, if we could, this expression. The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And with the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach this message entitled, It's About Time. It's About Time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us this morning as we look at your word, guide and direct our thoughts. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to see this morning the importance of our time. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide and direct. Lord, give us wisdom that we need for the decisions of our life today and tomorrow. And may you be glorified in all that we say and all that we do. And we bring these things before you, Lord. We need your help this morning. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that as Christians, we are to redeem the time. Now, the word redeem is a simple meaning in this word. It means to buy back. And the Bible is teaching us very simply that we are to make good use of our time on this earth. Life is a gift. Life is a gift. And when we talk about it's about time, we're talking about our life because our life consists of time. Someone said, if you don't want to squander your life, then don't squander time, because time is what life is made out of. The Bible says our life is a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. So when we talk about it's about time, we're talking about your life. We're talking about my life. Your life consists of the time each day. And the Bible teaches us that we are to make good use of the time that we have. None of us know the time that we have upon this earth. We don't know how old we will be when time will be taken from us and we'll step into eternity. Only God knows those answers. But the Bible says that we are to be good stewards of the time that we have. So time is the vehicle by which life is delivered. And all of us in one day, we all have 24 hours. We all have 1,400 minutes, 86,400 seconds. All of us have that. And it's interesting how when someone says something like, I don't have time, and yet someone else had time, and those people have more things to do, but yet they found time. It's because we all have our way of dividing up our time. And so the Bible is teaching us here that time is precious. And take some time and think of your priorities and set those priorities to honor God. Someone calculated how a typical lifespan of 70 years is spent. The Bible says this is the average of humanity, 70 years. And the person calculated of how their time, an average person that lived 70 years, how their time would be spent. They said that that person would spend 23 years sleeping. He would spend 23 years sleeping, 16 years working, 8 years watching television, 6 years eating. I guess that would be sometimes some people more, some people less. Travel 6 years, leisure entertainment, 4.5 years, illness, 4 years of your life is battling various illnesses and sicknesses. You spend 2 years of your life getting dressed. Again, some more, some less, right? And a half a year of an average person's life is spent on religion. And obviously this is talking about a wide range of religions. But think about your own life. Think about how much time you spend in your life and how much time you give to God. You know, how much time do you give to the Lord? You know, we have 3 services a week, 3 hours a week. If you're faithful to all 3 of those services, what is 3 hours in 1 week? 86,000 seconds in every day. How many seconds are you giving to the Lord? I'm just trying to remind you the time you have this opportunity to use it for the Lord. God has given it to you as a steward. And I'm saying that it's vital to understand that we should not waste the time we have. We should spend it for God, and we should be wise stewards. A story is told of a man who walked through an old graveyard, and he was noticing the lives that were lived upon this earth. And he would notice their name, and he would notice the date they were born, and he would notice the date they died. And he realized this important truth, that that small dash between his birth and his death, or her birth and her death, was the life that he lived, or she lived. That small dash represented the time that they had. And God is saying in that passage of Scripture that life's a vapor. You have a small dash, and you need to invest it wisely. You need to use it for God. This is what the passage of Scripture is teaching us, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let me give you some thoughts, if I could, quickly this morning about time. Number one, can we think about, if you're taking notes, would you write it down, the priority of your time. The priority of your time. Most people enter each day on a treadmill of meaningless routines. Each day is a repeat of the last. They go to bed, they catch enough rest to do it again tomorrow. And don't get me wrong, routines are beneficial, but we need to understand the overall success of our life and what God has planned for us. Our lives should be more than just going to bed, waking up, going to work, coming home, eating supper, watching the news, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. The Bible teaches us that we have this dash that we are to redeem for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible uses an expression, we can find it in our text here. The Bible says, look what the scripture says in verse 14. The Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now that expression there, arise from the dead, or awake thou that sleepest, is the idea to break free from these routines that control our life, and to stop for a moment and think about how our time is being used. Because here's the thing, you can get on the treadmill of life, and you can go through your life on this treadmill, and until you get to a prime age in your life, you can look back and say, where did life go? Where did my life go? This dash, where did it go? It is gone. And so the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, place importance on time and look at your life and think about how you're spending that time and make sure that you are buying it back or redeeming the time because the days are evil. That expression there, the days are evil, it speaks of the fact that there are so many things that are pulling for your time. The days are evil. It's easy to get sidetracked in our world today. You know, I always go back to the sermon that my brother-in-law preached, Eric Levier, missionary Eric Levier in Quebec, and he talks about how in his church there are people from all over the world. They come to his church and from Africa, French-speaking languages, and they'd come to his church, and many of these individuals They were deacons in the church in Africa. They were spiritual leaders in that church. But then after years of being in Canada, they've drifted away from the priority of serving the Lord, and church no longer was an importance to them, and serving the Lord no longer an importance to them. And Brother Levier will say he'll get calls from pastors of these other countries saying, oh, so-and-so is in your church, and they were a deacon in my church, and how are they doing in your church? And Brother Levier will say, well, they don't even attend our services anymore. And the reality is because there's so much in our world in North America that just pull us away. And the Bible says, no, listen, redeem the time because the days are evil. There are so many things that are trying to pull at your time, trying to get priority in your time, trying to get first place in your time. And so the Bible says here, Paul says, redeem the time because the days are evil. And so the Bible says here, you need to wake up and get off of the treadmill of the daily routine and just going through the motions and wake up and realize your time is leaving you. And you only have a certain amount of time to do God's will upon this earth. So the Bible says, wake up. Let me give you some thoughts. Letter A, wake up to salvation. Wake up to salvation. Isaiah chapter 55, would you turn there with me in the New Testament, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 6. If you don't have a Bible, you should find one close to you in a pew. We want you to follow along and see what the Bible says here. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 6. The scripture says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. The Bible teaches us to seek the Lord while he may be found. The reality is that we have opportunity. And so the Bible says, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it's time to wake up in a spiritual way and to realize that Jesus Christ died for you. He's the only way that you can go to heaven. You can't go to heaven through works, or you can't go to heaven through religion. I was talking with someone yesterday, and we were talking about this idea of a works-based salvation and how it's everywhere in our world today. And the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you know, you need to keep the law. And the rich young ruler said, well, I've kept the law from my youth. And Jesus said, all right, then go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. And the Bible says he walked away sorrowful because he had many riches. Do you know what Jesus was teaching that man? He was teaching that man that salvation was not by the law, for he did not love his neighbor as himself, and he could not keep the law. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind. And he was revealing that man's heart that the law was never given to help us, but to leave us helpless, and to realize that salvation is found in no other, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It is found in the wonderful, precious, powerful name of Jesus. And salvation is found in him and him alone. And if you've not come the way of the cross, if you've not come to the Lord Jesus and admitted your sin and asked him to save you, then friend, listen, it's time to awake to salvation. It's time today. Now is the acceptable time. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Today is the day you need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Today is the day that you need to come the way of the cross. Do you know why? Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. In fact, you're not even guaranteed the next hour. You don't know when your time will come to an end and you'll step into eternity. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you will be separated from God for all eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. And so today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to awake to salvation, to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. But when I talk about awaking to salvation, I'm not just talking about the unsaved individual. I'm also talking about the Christian. You say, Pastor Burns, what are you talking about? Well, see, a Christian has salvation. They have eternal life. But maybe they're not walking in the benefit of that eternal life. And so the Bible says, awake to salvation, awake thou that sleepest, and start acting like a Christian, and start enjoying the wonderful things of the Lord. I love the story of Lazarus. When Jesus raised him from the dead, he came late, and Mary and Martha were crying, and the Bible says Jesus wept. And I you know, there are great men, theologians, that say, you know, Jesus saw the sinful need of humanity. I just think that, you know, here's all of these people crying and all these people sorrowful, and Jesus came and realized what death was going to do to humanity and the separation that would take place because of death, because death brings separation, and eternal death is eternal separation. And Jesus wept when he saw Mary and Martha and the effects of death and the effects of sin and all that sin would do on this old world. But the Bible says that Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead. And it's a wonderful thing. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And he had to call him by name, by the way, because if he would have said, just come forth, all the graves would have been opened. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came. And the Bible says he was bound, still in those grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Now think about this. There are some Christians today that have been resurrected. I mean, they're free in the Lord Jesus. They have new life in Christ. The problem is they're still bound in those grave clothes. They're still depending on the old life. They're still living their life with an old perspective. And the Bible says, no, listen, awake to salvation. Understand where you are in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are free in Christ. We have power in the Lord and victory in Jesus. And so I remind you this morning to be loose from that old life and be loose from those old grave clothes and live your life in victory in Jesus Christ. Now's the time to live for the Lord. Awake to salvation. Think about this, if we could awake to God's priorities. Now, Jesus is the greatest gift ever given. Do you believe that? The greatest gift ever given. God gave us the best he could give. He gave himself. And he came so that we could know him in a personal way. Look back in your life this week. Take some time and think about this past week. Think about what you've done, the goals that maybe were accomplished. And ask yourself, were you truly spiritually awake? Were you truly spiritually awake? You say, Pastor Burns, what do you mean? How many people did God bring your way this week so that you could give them the gospel, and yet because you were so busy doing good things, you forgot about the best thing? What I'm saying is that oftentimes on this treadmill of life, we forget about God's priorities. We forget about God's leading. We forget about what God has directed us. Let me give you some God-given priorities in the Bible. First of all, the Bible teaches us, husbands, love your wives as God has loved the church. You say, Pastor Burns, is that important? That's a God-given priority. And the Bible says that we are to love our spouse. We are to care for them, and we are to guide them. We are to invest in our children. We're to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You say, is that important? That's a God-given priority. That is absolutely important in your life, witnessing to that coworker. You say, Pastor Burns, I don't know if I can tell him about Jesus. I'm scared I'm going to mess up his theology. Friend, he's already heading to hell. Tell him about what you've experienced in your life. Give him a gospel tract. Tell him that you love to pray to the Lord and you will pray for him. If they have any kind of need, let me know. And I would love to pray for you. It's subtle, it's simple. But listen, what you're doing is awaking them to spiritual things. And when they have a problem, guess who they're going to come to? They're going to come to you. They're going to bring that request to you, and you have opportunity as they are spiritually searching to give them more truth and more light. I'm saying that that's a God-given priority. Ministering to others, encouraging friends and family to keep on keeping on. These are God-given God-given priorities. Working hard at your workplace, it's a God-given priority. Ministering within the local church, it's a God-given priority. Listen, friend, time is absolutely free, but it is priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once it's lost, you will never get it back again. And so the Spirit of God says, redeem the time, because the days are evil. God's priority, spending time the way God would have us to spend it. Number two, if you're taking notes, would you write it down? The preservation of time. The preservation of time. The Bible says here in our text, it's a wonderful passage of Scripture because it's so practical in its teaching. It's so practical for our life that we are to live for God and we are to take time and just consider how we are spending our time. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 5 and our text here. It says verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, the text before that, the verse before that, verse 14, do you see it? It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. This speaks of guidance, direction. You say, well, the Lord is not leading me or helping me to grow. What does the Bible say? Then wake up, and Christ will give you light. He'll direct you. He'll help you. And so the Bible says, because of that, and it says here in verse 15, see then, there's the importance there, see then that you walk circumspectly. Walking circumspectly is to be cautious as you walk. It's to be careful. You see, the reality is, if we're talking about the preservation of time, then we need to understand the Bible teaches us that we are, as Christians, to have a cautious walk. Walk circumspectly. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter in your Bibles, 1 Peter. And notice what the Scripture says here, 1 Peter, and then the fifth chapter of 1 Peter together, 1 Peter chapter 5. And notice here, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, the Bible gives to us another great truth to help us, and really a connecting thought here for our lives. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now I'm told, I'm not a scientist by any means, I'm told that when a lion attacks its prey, that scientists know that it was the carcass left by or the remains left by a lion, because lions leave very little waste. I mean, they totally devour their prey. They don't play nice. They're there to destroy. And God uses that picture to describe to you our adversary. Let me tell you something. The devil would love it if you would waste your time. The devil loves it when you spend your time for things that don't benefit your spiritual life at all. Now, you say, well, Pastor Burns, are you saying that we can't have entertainment in our life? That's not what I'm saying at all. Listen, God created us to enjoy our life. And sometimes enjoyment is God-given and God's will for our life, to enjoy the life that we have. I'm talking about jumping on the treadmill, living your life for nothing, and at the end of the day, doing absolutely nothing to accomplish God's will for your life, and not being spiritually awake to realize the opportunities that God has given you today to grow. Let me say this. This is an opportunity for you to grow in your spiritual life. You can walk out those doors and you can pretend you heard nothing, and you can be a hearer and not a doer, and that won't benefit you at all. Or you could do something about it and take some time and say, Lord, direct me. Spirit of God, show me where I'm wasting my time. And that's being awake and being spiritually motivated to be different and to be better. You see, I'm talking about the devil wanting to destroy us. He wants to be there to destroy our lives. You're a Christian. If you know the Lord, you're born again. The devil can't have your soul. But he can keep you from doing anything beneficial. He can keep you from doing anything for God. And he will sidetrack you. He will get you to go on a rabbit trail. He'll do whatever he can to keep you from spiritually investing in eternity. And so the Bible says, be careful. Walk circumspectly. Satan wants us to be as the prodigal son. The prodigal son, the Bible says he lived his life for riotous living. The word there is sinful living. It's being a bad steward of our life, living for something that will hinder and destroy. God wants us to live for his purpose. You know, we need to be careful. There are so many Christians, and I don't understand this. There are so many Christians that like to live the Christian life on the edge. They like to live on the edge. And I say to you, friend, it's so dangerous to live on the edge. One summer, our family was at my mom's place, and she has a swimming pool, and the kids were in the pool having fun, and we were having some dinner together. And we were outside of the pool, and Emma was on a little table beside the swimming pool. And we were all in conversation. And as we were sitting there eating, we heard this small sound. It sounded like something like this. See if I can mimic it. It was like, it was so subtle and so small. And I turned around and I noticed Emma was at the bottom of that swimming pool. Now she was, what, 2 years old? She wasn't very old. She couldn't swim. And you could tell she was trying to holler, but nothing was coming out of her mouth. Well, my heart almost exploded in my chest. I mean, I reached down to the end of the pool and I pulled her out of the water. And I couldn't sleep for days after that. Just seeing her in that water, so close to the edge, it happened just like that. And there's so many Christians that live the Christian life. They're saying, oh, we want to do what is right. We want to do what is good. But they're kind of at the edge of the Christian life, and the devil's kind of trying to get them and trying to attack them, and they're living the Christian life on the edge where the Bible says, no, wait a minute. Don't give any provision. Don't give opportunity to the devil. Don't live your life so close to the edge that the devil has opportunity to grab you and destroy you. Hey, listen, we're talking about the high road here. We're talking about making decisions based upon the high road. Yeah, you have liberty in Christ and you can do what you ought and what you want. But the reality is we're talking about living our life circumspectly, a cautious walk, because we know the devil wants to destroy us. And so we're going to be careful, purposely living this cautious walk. Not only a cautious walk, would you write it down? We ought to have a calculated walk. We ought to have a calculated walk. God warns us that evil days that we live in and all of the things that are pulling us, it says redeem the time, buy back, recover the power from another. It says time here, a fixed and definite time. We are to take the opportunity that we have and we are to invest it in God's economy. Invest it in God's economy. Invest your family. Give God your family. Give God your children. God already owns them. You're stewards of your children. I hope you understand that. And bringing them up in the admonition of the Lord is being a good steward of your time. Praying with your family, important. Reading the Bible with your family, important. Eating together as a family and praying over the meal and praying for the needs that you have. Couples praying together, reading the Bible together. All of this is a calculated walk because we know that the devil is going to be there to attack. And we're not just going to leave our Christian life to chance and just hope that we become a spiritual Christian walking in from the car on a Sunday morning. No, we're going to take a calculated walk and we're going to make decisions based upon the fact that I want to be a spiritual giant. I want to be a spiritual influence for my children. I want to be a spiritual leader for my home. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to make decisions based upon that. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm not going to let the devil take away that time. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. We're going to have family devotions. I understand how hard it is to have time and to make time, but think about your life. Think about your days. What can you take out that is good and put in that's better, that is best? A calculated walk for success. for success. I was saying this week about the importance of church, and church is not my idea. You know, I think some people get the idea that church, you know, the local assembly is the pastor's idea, and people get confused in what the meaning of the church is. Listen, the church is God's idea. And God has given to us the local church, a time of preaching and praise through songs and fellowship together, exhorting one another. He has given us the church for your benefit and my benefit. He's given us prayer for your benefit and my benefit. He's given us the Bible for your benefit and my benefit. And it's not something that we just tack on to our Christian life. No, it's something that we have a calculated walk, and we use it to help us to be stronger in Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Those Christians were a mess. And the writer of Hebrews says, your mess is because of your manner. And your manner is, you're not going to church. So much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm just saying that it's going to take some decisions that are going to have to be made. And sometimes they're tough decisions. And sometimes you're going to have to go and make these decisions, and say no to the flesh and say yes to the spirit. But I'm saying we need to have a cautious walk, and we need to have a calculated walk, because we have a devil, an enemy, an adversary that hates us. And he wants to destroy you. And the devil won't smile until your Christian life is useless and ineffective for the cause of Christ. And so what we need to do, we need to redeem the time. We need to realize that we're up against someone stronger than us. And we need to preserve that time. A cautious walk, a calculated walk. Let me give you thirdly, would you write it down? There's the purpose of time. There's the purpose of time. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, what is success? You hear people give these stories in Reader's Digest and, you know, their life story, and at the end of their life, they'll always say something like, I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have spent more time in my Christian life. I told someone just recently that I wish as a teenager I would have took my Christian life more seriously. I would be stronger as a Christian today if I wouldn't have wasted my time as a teenager. And so, what is success? Well, from a secular perspective, success is making wise investments, climbing to the top of the ladder in a career field, having great possessions. You may have seen the license plate that said, whoever has the most toys wins. That is not going to bring happiness to the soul, and that is not the answer to success. You say, well, Pastor Burns, what is success in my life? Listen to me, it's very easy. It's finding God's will for your life and doing it. The Bible says, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Success is knowing and doing the will of God. And I'm going to teach you something that hopefully changes your life. God's will is not distant. It's not like, all right, I'm going to look for God's will. What am I going to do in 10 years? No, God's word teaches us that God's will is not distant. It's daily. You say, Pastor Burns, what are you talking about? I'm saying that you never have to pray ever, Lord, should I pray today? You don't have to, because the Bible says, understand what the will of the Lord is. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Pray without ceasing. You don't have to pray about that, because God told you that is God's will for your life, that you pray today. It is God's will that you be in church today. It is God's will that you read the Bible today. It is God's will. Listen, if you do God's will daily, then 10 years down the road, it's all going to work together. Someone said to me, well, yeah, how did you know? How did you know if if April was the person that you should marry in your life. Listen, this is the reality of it. I just lived my Christian life. I did what God told me to do daily, and God led me day by day. And 10 years and 15 years down the road, if you do God's will daily, then you'll do God's will in 10 years. And you'll be in God's will in 10 years. But God's will is not distant. Take that out of your mind. Well, I got to wait 5 years to see what God's will is. No, God's will is today. Are you doing what God wants you to do today? And the Bible teaches us that wisdom comes from the Bible. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2 as we conclude this message. Proverbs chapter 2. Look what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 2 verse number 1. This is a great proverb and a great truth. The Bible says this, my son, Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up the voice for her understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. Now here's a wonderful principle that we need to understand. In James chapter 4, here's an individual getting ahead of God. And this individual is living their life saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be this. And the Bible says, no, slow down here. You need to live for God every single day. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 2 that wisdom is found in God's word. Receive, if thou wilt, my words. Receive the word of God. We gain wisdom and understanding from the Bible. And so someone who gets ahead of God and make plans outside of the will of God is someone who is dangerous of being led in the wrong direction. You see, the attitude here leads to a life without God, who just assumes that tomorrow is going to come. But if we live our life daily for God's will, what does God want me to do today? Well, I don't feel like going to church, but I know that God wants me to go to church. You think that pastors always feel like going to church? They don't. I know pastors that, you know, fighting various illnesses, discouragement. I remember one pastor telling me that within his church there was so much trouble and turmoil that he would make himself stand behind the pulpit and preach the Bible. And he said it was the most difficult thing in the world to stand there and to preach God's word to people who, you know, are upset and mad and disgruntled. And I said, you know, why did you do it? Because it was God's will. Jeremiah, God said, don't be afraid of their faces. Just preach the Bible. Preach the word of God. I'm saying, listen, there are some times in your life you got to do what God wants you to do. And even though it contradicts your flesh, you do what God wants you to do and God's going to bless you for it. I guarantee it. God's going to bless you for it. God's going to benefit. God, it's going to benefit your life because why? You're just doing day by day what God wants you to do. And you don't have to worry about 20 years down the road, because if you do what God wants you to do every single day, then 20 years down the road will take care of itself. But you need to walk circumspectly and you need to be cautious and you need to live the Christian life on purpose. And God said, listen, the rest will just be taken care of. But we can't get ahead of God. Bible says, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. Our life, our time is in the hand of God. And you know what? There's nothing wrong. We're living in a driven society, a society that is moving all around us so quickly. There is nothing wrong for you to be still and know that He is God. And just be quiet and just let God lead. I'm saying today that we are to redeem the time. You see, it's about time. It really is. Your life is about time. You don't want to squander your life, then don't squander time. Because time is what life is made out of. And we need to have a calculated walk. And we need to have a cautious walk. And we need to remember that the devil is a liar and a destroyer. He's a liar. You know, friend, he's the first liar, and he's really good at it. He's really good at it. And we need to make sure that we're walking for His glory. The will of God is not distant. It's not about tomorrow. It's about today. What does God want you to do today? God, help us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. And we thank You for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. And Father, I pray, Lord, that I was a help to these dear folks. We're thankful for Your word and the guidance You've given to all of us. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. But Lord, we have so many different hurts and we have so many different happenings. Lord, we need Your guidance in our life. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that today we would make good decisions. Lord, I pray that we would act. We wouldn't just be. Lord, help us not just to be a hearer, but help us to be a doer. Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to make good decisions even this morning. Lord, that this time that we've had meeting with You would benefit not only our today, but our eternity. And Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for each one. I pray for each one that is here this morning. I pray for their spiritual needs. I pray, Lord, for their physical needs. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would, if there's an individual here that is not saved, maybe they're doubting their salvation or wherever they stand spiritually, that they would have that resolve, that they would talk to Me. Lord, that they would have that resolved today. Give them the boldness that they need. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for all that You've done for us and this wonderful opportunity to come together in Your name. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.